Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you're looking forward to a great Christmas. Well, I would think that most of us, especially if you have kids, you have the little countdown, some countdown mechanism there in your house. We have one in our kitchen that's got, how many days to Christmas, and you kind of reverse it and count it down. And then, of course, you got that kind of mechanism. Then we have the 12 days of Christmas and all these other things. But one thing that we tend to forget about, unfortunately, at Christmas is just sharing Christ at Christmas, which should seem like, I guess, kind of a no-brainer for a lot of us. It isn't. It's a busy season. We have a lot of fun. It's very inwardly focused. You know what I mean? It's our family. It's our immediate friends. It's our small groups, our Sunday school groups, and our church. But do we have any intentional focus on sharing the gospel, sharing Christ at Christmas time? After all, you would hate to have a birthday party for somebody, and then nobody focuses on that person. You go to the party, you have all kinds of gifts and all kinds of fun stuff like that. But what about actually sharing the reason for the season? So it's called the A to Z of Sharing Christ at Christmas. I put it up on Facebook just now, facebook.com/C2A Radio, where you can also join us on Facebook Live here in the studio. And it was written by a buddy of mine that's on staff out at Harvest Christian Fellowship with Pastor Greg Laurie. And he's a great evangelist himself, really a fearless apologist, Jason Powell. Merry Christmas, buddy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm so glad to be joining you today.
Well, it's great to have you on. And first of all, how's the weather in Southern California? And number two, I think you have a somewhat brand new member of the Powell family this Christmas. So Christmas is continuing to expand for you guys, right?
Hey, that's true. I first want to tell you, it is warm out here in Southern California. So I'm talking like 70 degrees. It's been pretty hot lately. And so that is a classic no snow Southern California Christmas. You know, we pray about snow, but we've never seen it.
Yeah, that's it's pretty wild reality out there.
No, it's true, and it's paradise. It really is. But it's not paradise in the house, let me tell you. We do have a brand new baby that's right around the Christmas season. It's in our own house, and there's no sleep going down in my house, I'm telling you. This little guy, he has been up like crazy. He's got colic. I don't know if you know what that is or what your listeners know about it, but it is the next thing closest to hell that you can experience where your baby doesn't stop crying for nothing.
Well, you know, we do have four kids in the Noble family, so we've been down all that road. I totally understand where you're coming from there. That's a bummer, but you know, that will pass, Jason. You know that those days will pass. Kind of what led up to this is a great piece that you wrote for Harvest, the A to Z of Sharing Christ at Christmas. Why did you decide to do this? What was kind of the genesis of it?
I think the idea here is that we allow Christmas to come and go, and we forget. We know that Jesus is the reason for the season, but we allow these great opportunities that are around us to go by us without even thinking strategically, like, hey, I could reach my family members or my office workers. I could reach these people with the gospel at a time of year that deals with Christ.
Yeah, and so the fun thing about this is you know, that there's direct evangelism, which, you know, obviously you know a lot about as you lead the SWAT team out there and do a lot of evangelism and apologetics yourself. But there's also some subtle kind of almost situational things that we could do. So it's a great list, A to Z, all 26 points. So whatever we don't cover in these first two segments, I'm going to cover in the third because I know you've got, a baby appointment again today. So tell me about kind of on this list, like what are some of your personal favorites?
I think the first one, so A, you know, it's kind of like an acrostic. So each letter of the alphabet stands for a tactic or a tip that you can employ in how to leverage Christ at Christmas, how to get the message out beneath the mess of Santa and the reindeers. How do we get to Christ? And so the first one, A, it starts with ask a leading question. Here's my favorite, and I've done it just recently with the owner of GMC himself. I was at a Christmas party, and the owner of GMC, I asked him this question: what is the most meaningful gift that you've ever received?
Wow.
And so you can ask, is it family? You can ask, is that coworkers? What is the most memorable gift you've ever received? And so he sat there and he thought about it, and he told me, you know, what he received, this gift. And he said, well, what's the most memorable gift you've ever received? I said, I'm glad that you asked. The most memorable thing I've ever received is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he's changed me. And I was able to preach the gospel to the owner of GMC. You know, and if I could do it there, I mean, you can do it with family and friends. So you're asking leading questions. Specifically, this is that fun one. What is the most memorable or, you know, the greatest gift that you've ever received? And they don't even anticipate that it's about Jesus. Just because we're in the Christmas season, everyone is getting gifts.
Right. Yeah, that's a great one. And I think we often think that there has to be some really intricate, formal way to get into a gospel conversation. But oftentimes, just like Jesus did, it's just a matter of asking good questions.
Exactly. And I think that's where this one slides right in. You know, you're asking just a key question to get the conversation going, and you will find that your audience will be intrigued enough to ask you, what is your most memorable gift?
Yeah.
And that's when you respond with 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
And I actually think that's like at Thanksgiving at the Noble House, we all go around wherever we're at, and sometimes we're at other places and have other family members or friends involved, and we'll go around and after the meal is over and go, okay, name one thing this year that you're most thankful for that God did in your life. This one with a mixed crowd, whether you're at Christmas dinner or Christmas Eve or whatever, with family that you're not sure where people stand with Christ, that's a great question to just go around the table, the most memorable thing. And then you're going to go last, and of course you have the table, you have the floor at that point, and you can share your gospel story.
That's great. No, that's exactly the intention behind it. So that's
okay.
Number one.
That's number one.
So that's number one. And I like even B stands for baking, something practical, down to earth. Every family seems to do it. It's a baking item. So you're baking with an intention behind it. Like, how do I bless somebody through baking? Hopefully you're good at baking, because if you're bad at baking, then maybe you shouldn't use this one. It might push people away from Jesus.
Right,
but
right.
Nonetheless, why don't you bake for a neighbor or a family member or maybe just someone that you know, and include a little handwritten card as to why, you know, it's an important holiday for you, why Christmas means what it does. And so you're giving a gift, some goodies, and you're letting them know about Jesus in just baking.
Yeah, that's a great one. I'm going to put you on hold, Jason. We're coming up on the break. We're talking to Jason Powell, who's a great evangelist, a great pastor himself, on staff with Greg Laurie and Harvest Christian Fellowship out in Southern California, where it's a lot warmer than it is here in North Carolina. But the A to Z of sharing Christ at Christmas, we're going to go through several more of these with Jason. Really practical ways. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Today, talking about the A to Z of sharing Christ at Christmas, which is really a great idea. And there's some great ideas on here that we should be intentional with, and some great tools that we can use all year round. But especially in December, when all eyes in America, for the most part, turn towards Christmas, but they don't turn towards Christ. But Jason Powell, of course, who's a great evangelist himself and a great apologist on staff out at Harvest Christian Fellowship with Pastor Greg Laurie. And I really appreciate you, Jason. You're such a gifted evangelist, and you love sharing the gospel with people. You love seeing people hear the truth. And this is just a great list and another great tool that you've developed to help us all with the evangelism, really in everyday life. It's really great. Thanks for putting this out there.
Hey, you know what? I'm stoked to be on the team, Steve. And, you know, it's just such a great gift we have. How could we not want to give it out? And that's definitely what Christmas is about. You know, we've got a great gift. Now we're just trying to hook up the rest of the world with that gift.
That's exactly right. So we're going through this list A to Z, and I'll finish the things that we don't get to in the third segment. But we talked about ask leading questions. We talked about baking, and we're going through some of Jason's favorite from this list. But what's the next one for you, Jason, that you think is particularly effective?
Yeah, I think we can go through some quick ones here. You know, everyone loves to decorate. So D stands for decorate with a nativity theme. You know, in your decorations at your house, you know, on your house with your lights, or in your front yard, or at your workstation, you know, at the workplace, or even it just could be out and about with your what you wear. Think about including not just reindeers and Santa, but make it a nativity theme. And sure enough, people will pick up on it. You know, when we go and drive around and look at Christmas lights on people's houses, We generally will count the nativities that we see in the front yard.
Yeah.
And so I would just encourage you to be intentional with a nativity theme. You know, and then I think, would be for invite someone to your church. More specifically, even to your Christmas Eve services. You know this, Steve. We've said it so often. It's a joke. There are CEO people or even Christians. They're Christmas and Easter only.
Yeah.
And so people, you know, they go to church during Christmas and during Easter. And so we're right at a time when we should be inviting our neighbors, inviting our family, our friends, our strangers, our Starbucks barista to come to church with us.
And yeah, and it's really... Yeah, and it's just an easy time of year to do that. And, you know, regularly around America, there's about 100 million people, about a third, that go to church occasionally. And so you've got 200 million people surrounding us, Jason, that almost never go to church. But most people will be somewhat open to it at Christmas time because they realize, I think deep down they might not ever admit it, but they realize the hypocrisy of celebrating quote-unquote Christmas and not going to church. I think in America there's still a little bit of a guilt complex over that, and rightfully so. And I think we should, you know, I think that's an easy one. Just out of love and concern for people to invite them. And some of the Lifeway research is like 80% of people that you would invite to come to church will go with you. I just don't think we don't bother to do it.
Dude, that's an outstanding statistic you just shared, and I think we should definitely capitalize on that guilt complex you mentioned. It's great, and let's do it. You know,
yeah.
Let's invite people to come to church with us.
Absolutely.
Here's another interesting one. Jumping into the end of the list, you know, U stands for use social media.
Mm.
Everyone's on their phone nowadays, Steve, or on their computer, or on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, you name it. How about you make a post this year, this Christmas, of something that's incredibly meaningful surrounding Christmas, whether you take a picture of a nativity or you take a picture of something relating to Jesus and his birth, write up a detailed comment about your photo, and you'll be blown away about how many people are looking at what you're posting. And this is a perfect opportunity to, again, get the real message out. Go beyond the mess and get to the message about Christmas.
Yeah.
Being all about Christ. And so use your social media. I think it's a great tactic to utilize.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of things on here, Jason. Most of us will be with family and extended family this coming weekend, whether it's on Christmas Eve on Sunday or Christmas Day on Monday. And how do you suggest we handle? I mean, we all know that this can be the most difficult mission field for all of us is sharing the gospel with our own family members. Oftentimes it's easier with a perfect stranger than it is with somebody right. You've known your entire life. But what are some tips that you would have for us in dealing with this? Because we certainly don't want to ruin Christmas, but we also don't want to miss the opportunity. How do we deal with family?
That's where I think L comes in. L comes in as love the unlovable. Mm. A lot of us have the Scrooges and the Grinches in our family that, you know, are not happy about Christmas or the holidays. Or they're just that type of person. I think if you love the unlovable, especially when you are rubbing elbows with them around the dinner table, it will create an atmosphere for you to set up the next opportunity. That would be going back to the A to ask a leading question,
yeah.
Or even to R, request to pray for the family dinner. You know, when you guys are standing around the kitchen table, or, you know, maybe just volunteer, hey, can I pray for the dinner this year? Can I pray for our meal? And in your prayer, don't pray too long now, but just pray, and because there's a lot of that, you know, they're praying for half an hour,
oh, yeah.
The food gets cold, you know, it's like, no. Just pray for the family dinner, but include some gospel truth that Jesus came, he laid down his life for us on the cross, and he rose again from the dead, and Christmas is not just about a baby, but it's about a Jesus that came, and he lived for us, and trusting in him, we have the hope of heaven when we die.
Yeah, and I love that when requesting to pray at the family dinner. Oftentimes, and this there's a good chance this will happen for me on Christmas Day. You know, we're kind of like the evangelicals in our circle of family, and to include that gift and thanking the Lord for the ultimate gift of His Son Jesus Christ, and to throw the gospel in there, and I think even openly praying that, you know, and Lord, I pray everybody at this table knows exactly what I'm talking about. I think we need to be willing to be a little more intentional, a little more out there. As long as we're doing it with the right heart and we're doing it with I think we have to be very careful to watch our voice and how we sound. But I think part of the setting the table on dinner, on Christmas dinner, should be getting the gospel in there too.
Yeah, And that's really good. I couldn't agree with you more, and it's the perfect time of year to do it. You know, again, we're not trying to make this awkward for the family. We're just utilizing this as a launch pad, really a springboard into the gospel, because yeah. it's at Christmas time. And so even leaving with why your testimony, this is important. You know, when you have the stage to share, I would this Christmas just keep it to, well, look, my life has never been the same. I came to know Jesus and my life got turned upside down. You know, this Christmas, I just reflect back upon the gift that God has given me. And I know that I now have joy and peace and rest and hope. And I've got this confidence that my sin is forgiven. And when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. You know, there's a sense in which we should be using our testimony this year at home or yeah. even around the workplace. And it would be well received, I'm confident, if you leverage it right.
Well, there's another one you had on here for W, Welcome the Lonely into Your Family for Christmas. We're talking about specifically Christmas time with our family. We had an opportunity to do this a year ago at Easter, and there's a guy that's basically homeless that comes to this Friday morning Bible study that I've been going 2 years. He's a sweet guy, really nice to have around. And I asked him if he had anything to do for Easter, and he didn't. So he came to our house, and I tell you what, that completely changed the dynamic of our Easter to be focused on somebody wow. other than our own last name.
Wow. Yeah, you know, so I'm telling you, they should be thinking about that. Maybe there's a college student or an elderly person around you.
Great thought.
You should invite them to come That's into awesome. Your house and enjoy dinner. Maybe get them a gift. But welcome the lonely into your house.
Amen. Hold on just a second, Jason. Okay, friends, we'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for?
Welcome back. It's Call to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble talking about something we should be talking about 12 months of the year, but this year, this month in particular, and sharing Christ in Christmas time where, you know, Christmas, Christ Mask, C-H-R-I-S-T, it's right there. A great little tool, great encouragement, some great practical tips for sharing Christ at Christmas time, the A to Z of sharing Christ at Christmas time. And my friend Jason Powell is a pastor and an evangelist and apologist out with Pastor Greg Laurie at Harvest Christian Fellowship in Southern California, put this together. And I shared it on Facebook. So if you want to get a copy of it for yourself, which I highly recommend that you do, and then share it around. Social media is one of the letters that we talked about, S for social media. And well, it was a different letter. It was use social media. But it's a great thing to share and help other Christians think of ways to be more intentional with the gospel this time of year. And Jason's on his way to a doctor's appointment with his wife and their brand new Bambino, who is not very old. How old is your son now, Jason?
He's 7 weeks, and so he's a little joy to us, and he's been great.
That's a riot. Well, I know you guys are going, and I want to respect your time, and thanks for hanging on just a little bit. I just wanted to ask you one last favor, just an encouragement to all of us, Jason. You know, you and I both know that most Christians who love Jesus, know the gospel, are born-again Christians themselves. Most of us struggle with sharing the gospel. It's awkward. We're worried about offending people. We're worried about how we're going to come across. And I think a lot of people worry that, hey, I'm not an evangelist, and I'm not an apologist like this Jason Powell guy. I'm not some Christian wacko like Steve Noble. So I'm not really prepared to share the gospel like that. So I was hoping you would encourage all of us with you know, just an encouragement that, hey, you don't need to have all the answers, and your personal testimony can be enough. So address that, if you will, and then we'll let you go.
Yeah, I think the reality here is that not what you know, it's who you know. A lot of times we shy away, we shrink back from sharing our faith because we allow fears to stop us. Listen, when you understand the fact that God wants to use you and he's placed you right where you're at for such a time as this, you know, you should allow that to propel you past, you know, your fears that you might have. But let the fears set aside for a second. Listen, just know Jesus came and he died on the cross, and by trusting in him, you could have your sin forgiven. You can go to heaven when you die. You can have God with you to never leave you or forsake you. If you know that, you know enough. But when they do ask you the questions that you don't know the answer to, you can either just lie to them. Just kidding, don't lie to them. But you can say, hey, I don't know the answer to that, but you know, I'll get back to you. But this is what I do know. And you can go right away from the problem, go right to what you do know, that your life has been changed. If you stick with why why you know it to be true, how your life's been changed, they can't argue with a changed life, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where the power truly is at. So make sure you get the full gospel in,
and let them know how the gospel's impacted you. And I guarantee you, you'll find yourself to be more influential than you've ever dreamed that you would be.
Yeah, and that's the basics of the gospel, and God's word never comes back void. All you need to do is share it. It's not up to us. It's not all about us. It's all about him. And so we get to be a part of the process. But I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the one closing that deal. We just share the basics of the gospel, and it's the love of God that eventually draws people in, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit, and we get to be a part of it. And to miss out on that is to miss out on one of the greatest aspects that any Christian can experience here on earth, and it's seeing God move in somebody else's life. So those are great words of wisdom and great encouragement. Jason, Merry Christmas to you guys and your family, and I'll be back out there in January. Hopefully we'll be able to hook up that time.
Hey, that would be awesome, Steve. I love you, my friend, and looking forward to connecting soon.
Love you too, buddy. Thanks so much, and Merry Christmas. That was Jason Powell, Harvest Christian Fellowship out in Southern California. I'm going to go through a few more of these because this is a great list, and I shared it on Facebook. So it's on the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio. And you can also get all the links to the Facebook page, Facebook Live like we're doing right now, all the other radio stations that we're on, and an online audio stream, and then like Facebook links and podcast links, all that stuff. You can find it at our homepage, c2atoday.com. is the website, c2atoday.com. So let me just finish off this list because there's really some great practical examples on it. I'll just go through all of them right quick. A, ask leading questions like he mentioned, you know, what's the greatest gift you've ever received? And when they ask you, which they will, then you have an answer. Of course, it's your relationship with Christ. B is baking. C is Christmas cards that highlight Jesus. D is decorate with a nativity theme. E, encourage those who are grieving. We need to be on the lookout for that. F, financially bless someone. This is great. I've wanted to do this one, and we haven't yet in the family, but I really want to get to the point where we go, okay, you know what? Let's cut our budget in half, or let's cut our budget out, and let's just go find a family and bless them. Whether they know you're doing it or not doesn't really matter. God knows what's happening, but that's a great one to financially bless someone who's low on money or just struggling to help them with their Christmas. That's a great, great way to tangibly love somebody and then hopefully have an opportunity to share the gospel with them if God opens that door. Give a gift with spiritual emphasis. That's mean gifts that we can give to each other. Help the church with local outreach is H. Jason mentioned this, invite people to Christmas services at church. Again, I'll go back and find this study, but it was like 80% of people, if a friend asked them to go to church, they'd go with them because that's relational. And, you know, don't forget that God has placed eternity in the heart of every man, woman, and child, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So you have to remember that. There is no such thing as an atheist. Everybody knows God exists. He is the 800-pound gorilla in the room, so we need to be inviting people. J, joyful attitude. We should have a big smile on our face this time of year, especially. K, kindness with intention. You would be shocked how far a little kindness goes, Jason says in this list. L, love the unlovable. He mentioned this in the family context. You might have some folks in your family kind of Scroogey or like the Grinch. Show extra love and kindness to these people in your life this time of year. M, movie time. I love this one. If you have friends or family over, put on a movie that focuses on the true meaning of Christmas. A Charlie Brown Christmas and the Nativity Story are great choices. And the Charlie Brown Christmas is awesome because Linus, it's the only time he's ever, I just read this article and shared it the other day. Is it Linus with the towel, with the blanket? It's the only time in all the Charlie Brown TV shows and stuff that he drops his blanket. The only time he lets it go. And it's when he's talking about the true gospel meaning behind Christmas, when he's explaining it right out of the scriptures. That's really cool. Notice a need. Serving people in the name of Christ communicates his love in a special way. Oh, Operation Christmas Child. A lot of you know that. P, prayer requests. Everyone appreciates a little prayer. Take time to ask those around you if they have anything that you can be praying for them about, especially this time of year where we've talked about this recently, the Christmas blues. A lot of people are not enjoying it. Just think of the people that the families and the friends and the coworkers that were impacted by that terrible Amtrak accident out in Washington, somewhere out in Seattle, Oregon area. And I think at least 4 or 5 or 6 people are dead. And Christmas is Monday. It's a week from today. And now all of a sudden, it's horrific. So we need to be looking for people that we, you know, prayer requests. You just don't know what you're going to run into. Quality time with loved ones is a great one. Request to pray at the family dinner. I love that. And include the gospel, the greatest gift. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift ever given, your son, in whom we can have eternal life if we place all of our faith in him. Just little things like that. Sing Jesus-focused Christmas carols. And again, you could do that at home. T, thankful attitude. If you happen to be a recipient of a gift or an act of kindness, make sure you respond with real thankfulness. You, he mentioned, I'd love this one. Use social media. You don't know. This is just where it's faithfulness, okay? This is like doing the radio show. I don't have a clue what God's doing in your life and in most listeners' life with the content of this radio show? I don't know. And I don't know that I'll ever know. But I know one thing. God knows. God knows every single one of you. He knows how many hairs are in your head. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. And with social media, you don't know. 500 friends, 5,000, whatever you have. And you share little gospel snippets, especially this time of year, or little stories that you find or illustrations. You don't know what's happening with that. We're just being faithful to share the message, to throw out the seed. It's God that brings the increase, right? One man sows, another man waters, but it's God who gives the increase. We can use social media that way. V, volunteer at a homeless shelter. I love that one. W, welcome the lonely into your family for Christmas. Who doesn't have anybody? Who doesn't have someone to share Christmas with? Somebody at work? Somebody in your neighborhood? We can be open to that. And I know it's a little uncomfortable. You know, we did that a year ago, Easter. And even though he's a friend of ours, you know, that's the first time we kind of had brought a quote-unquote, for the most part, a stranger over for a major holiday, which is shame on us that we've had never done that before. Aren't we called to be hospitable? Aren't we called to open our doors to people? Man, what a great opportunity, especially if you have a Christian home, to be a blessing and to show them the tangible love of Jesus Christ, who came after the strangers and the outsiders and the broken. Welcome the lonely into your family for Christmas. W, I love that one. X, the X in Christmas is for Christ. And if a child or an adult brings up Santa or Christmas, kindly and lovingly compare the difference between Santa and the Savior. Stuff like that. Y, your testimony. That's, of course, a big one. Z, zeal about the Christ of Christmas. Don't let Christmas go by without including Christ. Because, listen, we all know this. I mean, I'm guilty of this myself. You can roll through the December and you got all the trappings and all the stuff and all the songs and everything and the Santa and the reindeer and all that kind of fun stuff. But are we focusing on Christ? Are we bringing up the gospel? Is that a part of our Christmas Eve? It is at church, but what about our everyday conversations? Is it a part of our Christmas dinner? Jason mentioned that several times. If Christmas dinner is at your house and you're going to do the prayer, include the gospel. Include the greatest gift that is ever made possible, that was ever given. But a gift doesn't count unless you take it, right? It's also a great time of year in explaining the gospel. Say, hey, listen, there could be the greatest gift ever sitting right there under the tree with your name on it. But guess what? In order for that to be yours, what do you have to do? Well, I have to get it. I have to underwrap it. I have to receive it. Exactly. That's the gospel. You can share it, but it has to be received. Those gifts under the tree, come Monday morning, what a great opportunity to share the gospel once again. The A to Z of sharing Christ at Christmas, I put it up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio. Back for a Money Monday update when we come back after this break. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Merry Christmas to you and yours, your family. I hope you have some great plans coming up. And just a reminder, we just had Jason Powell on from Harvest Christian Fellowship out in California talking through this little article he put out there called The A to Z of Sharing Christ at Christmas. Some really great, practical, and pretty easy ways to involve the gospel with our Christmas season here in December, and especially coming up this weekend with Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So I shared that article you can find in our Facebook Live feed today. So if you want to catch the Facebook Live thing and want to know what it looks like inside the radio studio, or if you happen to listen to the show later, it gets rebroadcast in your city, wherever you are. But you can always join us live on Facebook Live. That's the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio. So in the comments there, I shared that article. I'll share them in the main page too as well. C2A Today.com. You can get us there, or you can go to the Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/C2A Radio. Well, of course, it is Monday, so we've got our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital with us. David, how are you, buddy? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Steve. I'm doing great.
It's great to have you on, and we're going to dive right into one of the greatest, you know, there's all kinds of places in the Old Testament where you can find Christmas, which is really cool to study that. And, of course, this is one of the biggest ones we have there, Isaiah 9:6. We'll start there.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, obviously, this is Christmas season upon us, the birth of our Lord and Savior. That's why I chose it. And, you know, I think God wants to birth new things, new ideas, new ministries in our lives, new ways of looking at our faith and becoming a better light and salt to the earth. I think he wants to do the same thing for our investments, for the government. I was thinking about this. Does our country actually, its government, rest on the head, the shoulders of Lord Jesus, God the Father? Absolutely. It's hard to fathom when you know, we have $20 trillion in debt. So there's a difference between him being Lord of it and us being not so good stewards of it. But he's our counselor, and he gives us advice, and he's our father. He holds us accountable and gives us leadership in our lives, even though sometimes we might not think it. But he's also the Prince of Peace, the one that gives us a peace amongst the storm in our lives. So it's a great scripture to remember this time of year.
Yeah, amen. It certainly is. Thanks for sharing that with us. Well, of course, you know, ding, 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 the tax bill is finally done. And there's all kinds of changes, of course, and it looks like it's going to be signed by President Trump before Christmas. So, you know, what's your take on this bill? Is it good for America? Is it good for Americans?
Most Americans are going to get a Christmas present by this bill being put into action as law. There's going to be a few lump of coals. Unfortunately, some people will get, mostly in the salt states, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, just to name a few, where they can't deduct as much taxes, local taxes, that they pay on their federal tax return. So I think it's a good deal, although it is really highly focused on corporations and businesses. But there is a lot of revision done, Steve, at the end that is now benefiting individuals in their tax returns. So I'll give it an A-. There's a lot of give and take, which the good thing is we see Congress working on something negotiating and coming to a fruition of a decision that's formed itself in a bill. And I think this will be good. The only thing I have that's concerning me is, and I hope we can come around next year and address this, the debt goes up $1.46 trillion in a decade, according to the Joint Committee on Taxation. We haven't done anything with our debt. It just continues to rise. And I don't hear the, you know, we're not going to do this because of our kids and our grandchildren, our grandchildren's children. You don't hear that type of verbiage anymore. And I hope it comes back to our news in the country.
Man, no kidding, because this is a deeply moral issue. They tend to not talk about it in moral terms, but we absolutely should, because we're using our children and grandchildren's credit card to run up our debts here. And nobody brings that up very often. And it troubles me that we don't speak about this in ethical or moral terms, because it certainly is. We're talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital, of course, and their website is landmarkgold.com. Or you can give them a call for more information. Great education, all kinds of white papers and great helpful literature for you. And you can give them a call right now, 844-879-8882. And we greatly appreciate your partnership with the show and helping to make the show possible in the first place, David. And just God bless you for your partnership. But we were talking about the debt there. And so Congress, of course, passed a short-term debt extension that's now needing a vote again. They don't even know how to kick this can very far down the street. So tell us some details about what you think is going to happen with that.
Well, first of all, absolutely, you're very welcome in our partnership, and I'm blessed to know you as my dear brother and friend. Amen. And I believe in your ministry and touching lives. I want everybody to know that, because I've had the chance to meet you personally and break bread with you and my wife together, and it's just been wonderful. Amen. The debt ceiling, we kicked the can down the road a few weeks ago. It's now coming due December 22nd. I don't think we're going to have a debt ceiling being raised, and I don't think we're going to have a government shutdown. I don't think there's enough time to do either of those. I think that they're going to kick the can down the road in a short-term extension into early January, the first week, because the day that President Trump signs the bill, they're going to be gone, and there won't be time to work this out, because right now they're reading the bill, so therefore the debt ceiling is gathering up all their time to be talking about, and they're not even having conversation about raising the debt ceiling. So it's either it's being swept under the rug, and they're going to do this at the last hour, last minute, last day, which I don't like those kind of things, or I think they're just going to do a short-term extension again.
Yeah, well, one of the things we've been talking about recently is Bitcoin, which is just, I was just looking at a chart for its growth in 2017, which is just insane. Here's another article I'm looking at that's showing it was Bitcoin has grown by 1,950% in 2017. It's absolutely crazy to watch this. So where are we at now, and what kind of consideration should we give Bitcoin at this point? I mean, trading at 19, you know, about 19,000 per Bitcoin, it's just crazy to think about it.
You know, I think cryptocurrencies are here to stay. I think it's starting to simmer down a little bit. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange opened up their future trading today. Last week, the Chicago Board of Options opened up their trading, and they had a limit up twice. They shut down the market through circuit breakers of a 10% gain or more. It went up 26%. But those options now that can be fully done on Bitcoin are bringing some stability, but it's still not broad-based enough. Still only about 1,000 people own the Bitcoin to control 40% of it. So it's a small, narrow market. There's other Bitcoins, if you will, or cryptocurrencies coming out. And I'm not endorsing this, but Longfin went up 730% in 2 days. That just happened over the weekend. So there's other currencies, cryptocurrencies. I think they're here to stay. I don't think it's a currency yet. I think it's a highly volatile trading parabolic mechanism that you can lose money in or you can gain money real quickly. Unfortunately, I don't like this as the model to create wealth. Yeah. That's never something sustainable and something that's not safe. It's very speculative. So just be careful if you're going to do that. And I would recommend you trade on Coinbase. I'm not endorsing that. It's the only one that's not been hacked into yet.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of scary in the world that we live in now. And again, you mentioned this before when we've talked about Bitcoin. For the average bloke, which is most of us, if you're going to do anything with it, it's throwaway money, money that you could afford to lose and not lose any sleep over. And for most of us, we don't have a lot of that. So, but it is fascinating to watch it. And I agree. I think cryptocurrency is here to stay. That's just the digital world that we're in now. Well, you know, talking about the market, the Fed raised rates a quarter of a point. And of course, gold, I guess, can I say that? Of course, gold shot up. And do you think we're going to see more of this next year?
Gold's up again today. Yes, we're going to have 4 rates next year, a quarter of a point, a total of 1 point. And maybe now they're speculating even maybe more than that. Wow. It depends how hot the economy is. So I think now that we're having rate hikes in place and gold going up during those rate hikes, this is confirming it's an inflationary environment we're moving towards. Those are good for gold markets. Not so good for stock markets, although it hasn't reared its head that way so far. The market just kind of blinked a little bit, went down a little bit, but not crashing or anything like that in stocks when they raise rates. But I think we're going to see a changing of that. I think it's going to eventually cause some sort of downward pressure or selling on the market because it's going to confirm we're moving towards inflation.
Yeah, I mean, on December 19th, 2016, the market was at 19,883. Today it's at 24,792. You know, it's just been on fire all year. But should we be cautious? Because we've been talking about this, David, and I think we all need to be thinking this way, that, you know, we've seen the market go ballistic before, but we've also seen it go ballistically down.
Well, 25% moving in the stock market in 1 year is a lot more than normal. 7% is the national average for 50-year time, so we're well above the norm. There are things that came out just 2 weeks ago on CNBC. A 10% correction was a survey, and 70% of the people that surveyed says, yes, we're going to have a 10% correction at any time. Bill Gross, bond trader, says, beware, there's going to be a huge correction in 2018. Byron Wine also said that the Dow could suffer a 2,400-point blow at any time. Jeez. And Vanguard came out saying that who they manage roughly $5 trillion, their economist, Joe Davis, says, get ready for a significant downturn. So, yes, we need to be concerned. This is why you want to diversify into gold.
Yeah, and speaking of that, you mentioned that there's these year-end discounts that are out there. Tell us about that real quick.
Well, it's generated by wholesalers that got to pay inventory tax, and we give the savings to our clients, and it happens between now and about the second week in January, and up to 30% on different products, as low as 3%, and it's fast-changing. You can call my company and learn more about it because of time.
844-879-8882 at Landmark Capital or landmarkgold.com. David, thanks so much, and Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
Merry Christmas to you, Steve, and your family and the listeners.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again real soon. There you go, friends. Some great information. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.